And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got a full squad today, folks.
Yep.
Brick for Vic. Brick for Vic.
But you think that he's going to win today, huh?
No. I cannot have everything in life. Cannot have everything. Cannot be handsome, beautiful kids, beautiful wife, great family, great teammate, great coaching staff. Handsome. Athletic. I cannot have everything in life. I cannot make threes too. God had to keep me humble. God said basically, cannot make threes. Can't shoot. Stay humble, my God. Dominating the paint, rebounds, dunking on people, Eurostepping. I had to stay humble somehow.
I also want to get rid of replays.
Let's just go with human error again, okay?
This is your best take ever. Just live with bad calls, people. We just need
to live with errors. That's it.
Yo, how I work this shit?
Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh!
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Got Trevon Edwards, Mo Dakhil, Jay King with me today as we're going to take you around. I don't know, we got to talk some Nets and Kyrie stuff. It's getting boring, but you know, I think this is the last of it, at least for a bit. We'll talk about Spencer Dinwiddie against Tony Brothers. We'll get Jay King's Kings Minute. But first, yes, we start off with the only undefeated team in basketball still. They're 9-0. The Milwaukee Bucks are dominant so far, just crushing everybody. Giannis is an absolute machine, and they still don't have Chris Middleton. They don't have Pat Connaughton. They'll get Joe Ingles back at some point. And look, they haven't played, you know, they've played the Suns and the Celtics and the Cavs every single night, but they've still been really good, really dominant. And Jay, like, I'm curious, do you think this is the best team in basketball? Not just because of their record, but like, I'm just looking ahead, and they're going to get obviously their second best player back at some point relatively soon. They'll get Pat Connaughton back, who's a very important role player for them. Sometime in the second half of the season, we believe Joe Ingles will be back into the mix after that ACL tear last year, or I should say earlier this year. Who is set up to beat this Bucks team? Because Giannis might be the best player in the world, and they might be the best team in the world.
They are the best team in basketball. What's been so impressive to me about their start is this isn't, or you look at this roster and you don't think it's the deepest team at all. And they're surviving the loss of Middleton, the loss of Connaughton, two of their, seven best players?
Yeah.
Maybe even better than that.
Yeah, Connaughton might be fifth or sixth, right? Like, he's pretty good.
And the defense has been amazing. Like, miles ahead of anybody else. They are actually defending the three-point arc. They're not just letting teams walk into open threes anymore, which is new. Brooke Lopez, how has Brooke Lopez come back from the back stuff and just, it's like he's not 34 years old. It's like the back stuff never happened. He's averaging 15 points a game. He's anchoring the best defense of the league.
Yeah, he's got 2.5 blocks. Like, he's
Brooke Lopez, to me, is one of the less discussed but more important stories in the NBA right now.
Bobby Portis is
playing at a really high level.
Bobby Portis is playing his ass off every night. He's been phenomenal.
Double-double off the bench.
Yeah, double-double off the bench. Like, he's in 25 minutes. Like, he's been spectacular. And I don't know. Like, we had that clip from Giannis this weekend where he's talking about, like, you'd be too handsome, you know, be too athletic, too big, that all this stuff. Terrible. But he just can't, you know, God humbles him by not allowing him to make threes, and he still can't make threes. But I think I either talked about this on the radio or talked about this on the pod earlier in the season of just like, I don't even care that he takes them anymore. It used to bother me. Now I'm like, yo, man, you earned it. Whatever you need to do here to kind of take a playoff while still being involved, if that's a 3-point shot for you, I'm for power rankings on Monday. I'm kind of looking at like transition offense and defense for each team. Do you know over a quarter of his possessions are in transition? 27% of his possessions are in transition. He gets fouled like 31% of the time. It's the thing he does the most in any game. And it's not like teams aren't aware this is going to happen. You just can't do anything about it.
You can't stop it, Zach. That's the problem. You can't stop it. He's coming at you full speed. He's going to Euro step. They talk about building a wall. By the time you've built your wall, he's already past it. Like,
he just steps
gone
over the wall. It doesn't, right, you can build exactly the wall all you want. He just steps over it.
You know, and then the way they, you know, he does a pretty good job of even finding other guys out of that. You know, if you pull off of a shooter, he'll find Holiday or somebody for a bucket. Like, the beauty of this team is, and Jay touched on it, it's Brook Lopez right now. Like, I don't think there's, you know, the way he's able to move and anchor the defense allows Giannis to play free safety. So now, even when you get by Brook, okay, the other guy is coming to reject your shot. Like, right. you're kind of just in a twilight zone sort of scenario. Like, there are not a lot of teams built to take this on. And I think, you know, just they're doing this without Middleton. It's super impressive. The guys they have aren't names that you would jump at, but they all know their role. They know exactly what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to contribute. And they just kill it in that role. And I think that's kind of just this team. I mean, they have the second best point differential right now in the NBA. And I just don't know how anybody slows them down.
Yeah. And they have that while their offense has kind of been mediocre. Like, they're like 15th, totally 16th mediocre in the league. And so it's like, it's going to get better.
Yeah. I mean, their half court goes with Chris Middleton. Right. Like, Giannis has to have that 27% in transition,
yeah,
you know, for it to be effective for them. But like, when Chris Middleton's not in the game or not even suited up, like, you know, the half court offense is going to struggle. But that's also where if they can get 75% of Joe Ingles back.
Yeah.
That helps them in the half court. Another guy that could run pick and rolls and things like that. Like, that's the challenge for them.
And they seem to have said just basically like, we don't care about offense. We're going to start Javon Carter. And it doesn't matter to us. Well,
I'm a big Javon Carter fan. Let's not.
He's a dog. He's a dog. That was no slander. That was no slander. But he's not going to help your offensive rating.
Jay King's going to post a picture of Javon Carter with the pit bull in the chest. Is this what we're going to do now?
Yes. Yeah, he's got that dog in him.
Trey, they haven't had a tough schedule so far. Like, they beat Philly opening night, and that looks like it's not really that tough to do. They beat Houston, which is a bad team. They beat Brooklyn. They might have started to figure out things out, but they're a bad team. They beat the Knicks. Knicks are solid, right? Knicks are solid. They beat the Hawks. Hawks are good. Beat the Pistons twice. Pistons might be the worst team right now. And they beat the Wolves, who are a mess, and they beat the Thunder, who are the Thunder. But Trey, like, what are you convinced on this Bucks team as best in the league, or do you need to see a little bit more from them as the season goes on?
I don't think I need to see any more just because they're, you know, they got the same team that they've rolled out every other year. Yeah. I mean, they've had a couple pieces that kind of helped them just in case. And I think with these injuries, like to Middleton and Connaughton, Marjan gets the looks, you know what I mean? A couple other guys, Wes Matthews just leaned on heavy. I mean, you can go down the line and guys that are kind of uncharacteristic.
Wara.
Yeah, they're kind of leaned on heavy. And I just think that it works in their favor. But no, they're pretty legit. I'm not even going to water it down or put little in front of the Bucks name. Like, they're totally legit team in the Eastern Conference. And right now, probably the one to go through.
Am I the only one who likes Beauchamp?
No, I like him.
I'm a big fan of him.
I just think he's going to take a year or two, you know?
Oh, for sure. For sure. But he's
a tough rotation to crack.
He's so long, so physically gifted, and he seems to be tough. And I think normally when you have those traits, like, you got a pretty good chance of working out in the NBA. That move he made at the end of the game against the Timberwolves, like, jab step on the baseline, go by and cock it back for a dunk. I was like, oh, okay, Beauchamp's here.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good last year with the Ignite team.
You know, like he can play, and obviously that's not the NBA level, but no, I think he's going to end up being one of those kind of steals late in the draft or late in the first round, where it's just like, really, we allowed the Bucks to get that guy and develop him like that? Like he's a nice player, and I would like him maybe to get a little bit more time right now while those slots are open in the rotation, but it's not like they're struggling. Well, it's funny, like Serge Ibaka is a complete non-factor. Serge is still like a pretty good role player. He plays like 10 minutes a game.
No, he cooks, though. He's the chef, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's team chef. Serge, yeah.
Poor Serge doesn't have much left, man.
I think he's got more than 10 minutes a game left.
I don't know.
He can't be out there for 25, 30 minutes anymore, but he still stretches the floor. Like, he can still rotate defensively. Like, I get it. You got to manage that back and everything, but I think he's got more. If Brook Lopez has more, he's got more.
Well, I'll put it to you this way, though. Do they need more? Right. If Bobby Portis is averaging a double-double, yeah. if you know, Brooke's playing the way he's playing, and then Giannis, best player on the planet right now, like, I don't know if you even need Serge to play more than 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't. You probably don't. Is Giannis the best player in the league?
I think so.
Yes.
Is that like unquestioned? It's not KD. KD's not in the mix. Like, Steph's not in the mix. All these guys aren't in the mix. Jokic, all those dudes.
See, I'm still leaning on debatable. I think it's night in, night out. Depends who you ask. Depends who needs what.
Mm-hmm.
If we just go lean on record, I mean, again, we're only 9 games in.
Right.
That's I just don't really want to. I mean,
it's enough if it fits your narrative. That's it. Then it's yes. enough. That's if not,
I think that's it right there. For the narrative wise, yes. For people to get off our backs, yes.
that's really the most important part, Trey, is just to get people off our backs.
Yeah, just to get people off our backs. If y'all want to hear that Giannis is the best player, sure.
If you want to hear that Luka's the best player, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to. You know what I mean? Who the people are leaning towards that particular week, because it changes often. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Luka's leading the league in scoring, but then Giannis' team is winning.
Yeah,
KD's averaging like he has the most points scored.
Yeah,
total.
Tatum's been ridiculous, right? Jokic has been incredible.
It's literally 9 guys averaging 30 right now in the first 9 games.
Seriously?
It's absurd. But I think the thing is, it's not so much I'm saying he's the most skilled, but there's nothing you can do to stop him at this point.
And there's no no one impacts the game the way he does, right?
Right, exactly. So it's like when he's on the court, you're in for a night.
And that's in a league with Luka, with
a
Steph,
bunch of other dudes.
Yeah, like KD, like Jokic, like, and to say that no one impacts the game the way he does is like, it's kind of crazy.
I'll put it this way. Somebody else could be better for like a playoff run. Like Steph Curry last year, I think, was the best player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But like on a night to night basis, Giannis is the best to me.
I would imagine Giannis is
like, it's not
a
huge gap or anything like that between him and the other best guys, but
yeah,
just the level he brings it at, and to do it both ends of the court the way he does is just special.
I want to know what it's like to prepare for a random ass night in the NBA going against the Bucks. Like, for the players, they're like, fuck, we got Giannis tonight. Like, that's got to be one of those. It's got to be like, I mean, the comparison's been made a bunch, but it's got to be like when you had to face Shaq, right? Of just like, Jesus, this is going to suck. Like, we may win, but this is going to suck.
We're going to have the Giannis-itis. Giannis flu.
Yes.
Like, I think we're gonna have some guys that are looking
you
at it going
to,
like,
man, this dude just makes everybody look like a baby.
Do you know how miserable it'd be second night of a back to back? You flew in. God. You got into Milwaukee at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
you wake up and it's like
snowing, hey, it's cold, like
hey, your assignment's Giannis. No, it's not. Cough, cough, sneeze, sneeze. I'm not playing today.
Nah, throw my ass in health and safety protocols. I'm like,
I remember one time years ago, the Celtics had just played the Knicks. And in the locker room afterward, they were showing off bruises to each other that they'd gotten from Carmelo Anthony, like putting his shoulder into them on drive.
Yo, Melo was a beast.
Melo was such a physical force, but Giannis is just times 10.
Yeah.
And guys are just probably bruised. They're battered. they're talking to each other like, what the hell are we supposed to do against this guy?
He wore down Grant Williams in the playoff series. We didn't hear from Grant Williams the next two rounds.
Yeah, Grant Williams was like this great story, like knocking down threes and everything. He dealt with Giannis for seven games. Like, all right, man, I'm tapped. I'll be
he
out
looked
there,
like
but
the Popeye worker.
He looked like Udonis.
He was good against Bam Adebayo in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's give Grant his props for that.
He was good. No. What's your
definition of good?
He was fine.
Bam did nothing that series.
That was because of Bam.
Like I don't think that's Grant Williams shutting his ass down. Like that's Bam weirdly disappearing offensively in the playoffs every year. I think that's what that was. Like he was fine. Hold on, I'm gonna look at this run. I'm gonna look at this run from Grant Williams in the conference finals.
It's not to say anything. I couldn't play a second against Giannis. I'd probably just curl up in the fetal position and die. Like it's not like this dude's getting crushed. Like
he scored 8 points a game on 41% from the field. 8-4.
What from three?
He was 38%. So still hitting threes at a
still
good
hit shots. Yeah. But
that's 38.9 like normal average.
Is eight?
Yeah, I think he averaged 7 last year. Oh shit! Yeah, you're right. What that? 8.6 in the playoffs. Still had nothing. He had nothing in that series.
After
shot 41% for the field. That's bad. Went from 50 to 48. All right, let's move on to another team in the Atlantic Division of your NBA Eastern Conference. So lots been going on with the Nets lately. We don't have to rehash everything here, but Kyrie has been suspended for at least 5 games. He has a checklist of things to do, courtesy of Shams Charania of The Athletic reporting the 6 things that he has to do to start getting himself back in position to be on the court. Sean Marks said past couple of days said that, the apology was step one. I like on that list, the apology was denouncing that video was number one. He did half of that. He apologized and he sort of denounced the video, but then it was like, but there are parts of it like
portions of the video.
Yeah, he couldn't do the whole thing, but he did apologize. It was a good Instagram caption. And, obviously the stuff with Nike is up in the air at this point. They're not going to release this Kyrie 8. Mo, what do you think the next step is for everything in this situation? Because this doesn't matter so much. Last 2 games though, they did win and they've looked like pretty solid. I don't think that's a Kyrie thing necessarily. I think they're just, regressing Charlotte to the mean thing. Joe Harris is there. Yeah. Charlotte's really bad. Joe Harris is getting his legs under him. Seth Curry, not quite playing well, but he's getting his legs under him and he's still like, people still aren't leaving him on the court. But like, what do you like, is this going to get resolved?
I mean, it will once Kyrie finishes his homework, I guess. Like, it's
such a weird thing, right? Yeah.
I
disagree, Mo.
What's that?
I disagree. I don't think people are going to let it go.
No. I just think it's just awkward. But my other question, Trey, is that sixth step, like, what happens if Josiah is not satisfied? We assign extra credit? Like, what's the, like, I'm with you. I don't think people will let it go. It's whether what the Nets would do. I think they'll let it go.
Because I think this is more serious.
I think he's going to get past it. That's the thing. I think he's going to check off everything that he's supposed to do, and they're still going to feel pressure regardless. And it's going to be up to the Nets to be like, hey, we did our part. Or because, again, at the end of the day, I've been talking to everybody and their mama at this particular point, and people want him out the league. Some people are like, I ain't going to watch. Obviously Nike suspended the line, which Zach mentioned. It's just to a point of like, are we just going, you know what I mean? Like what's the realistic, standard on this? You know what I mean? Like if he accomplishes everything, he meets with everybody, is it still just up to the fans? Is it still up to the people, to the Jewish community? Like how much power do we give leaning in that? Because I really think that the consequences have been met. You know what I mean? Like to a point where not only you suspend a line that's very popular, so Nike had to take an L on this one. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, Kyrie will basically lose $1 million in these 5 games of 2 weeks, right? Although the Nets have won and they, you know, they beat some bad teams. I don't know where, you know, they'll probably be tested on that. But again, having him out hurts them. So it doesn't help them anything. And then also he apologized. But what is the determination of what's not enough? You know what I'm saying? Because right. I know some people that's going to be like, F that guy for life. And it's like, cool, you feel that way. But when do we move on?
But also,
because this can't be a thing over the entire season. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's dependent on Kyrie and his comments and his attitude towards it, right? Like if he right. carries himself with some real contrition once he's back, assuming he gets back, then I do think it kind of fizzles out, especially if they win basketball games. I think the interesting question to me about this whole thing is the Nets don't have a culture and don't have a backbone. Really, like, remember that they took the stance against Kyrie, and these are two very different scenarios. So I don't want to compare them as a one for one. But they took this very hard line stance: if you're not available for the road games, you're not available for the home games for us, right? Like, we're, and everyone's like, oh yeah, vaccine, applaud, right? And I kind of agree with what they said, but then the second they needed to start signing some 10-day dudes, they were like, well, we got this guy. We have a Hall of Famer just waiting, right? We're going to bring him back. And they,
it was up to their star, Kevin Durant.
Right.
He's like, well, what are KD's we doing here?
Yeah. And
like, what are we doing here? I'm playing with guys that I'm probably not going to remember the names.
Right.
Or I shouldn't even have to remember.
I don't
the
even
names
know who these guys are.
For 10 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I understand why they went back on their stance on that, but I don't look at the Nets as having this like backbone. Like, oh, we're not firing Sean Marks and Steve Nash 6 games in. All right, Steve, you're out. Like, and that was kind of all, like, once this Ime stuff went down, you start connecting the dots behind the scenes. Like, Steve Nash was always going to be fired if they got off to a slow start for most likely Ime Udoka. I think the Nets are going to once again. There's part of me that would be shocked if it went 5 games, the suspension.
They're gonna go
all the way through.
It's the Nets, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, no, I think they go 5 games.
Just because they're on the road, for one, and then secondly, he's already started it. So the thing is, when they're coming back after they finish their road trip, then he'll meet the team. But I think in the process while he's away, he's currently doing that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that it just has to go, you know, he's just going to have to continue to do his thing and follow throughout the steps and things that and whatever meets the standards. And I think that they're just going to, you know, kind of bring him back. But again, it's going to be still an uproar that carries over. And sooner or later, the media is going to have to draw a line of like, what's the story? You know what I'm saying?
I think because
I feel like this is a disservice to the Bucks. I feel like this is a disservice to like
the whole league.
It's so many people balling right now.
For
like
sure.
Luka Doncic is having like a crazy first 9 games, bro. He's averaging
setting records.
Yes. And it's just like every time I turn on the, you know, like, and it respectfully, it's supposed to be mentioned. But now it's starting to carry over.
But I 100% think that's on hatred. Kyrie's attitude moving forward and his outward attitude moving forward. He can believe whatever he wants in private. If he comes out there and it looks like he's still trying to be cute with the media and like, I'm smarter than you and I can talk around this issue. If he acts that way, I think it carries on. If he shows actual contrition, sports are forgiving. Like if you can ball and you win and everything, like sports are forgiving, but you have to show.
Oh, I know. I watched the NFL.
Yes, right. Exactly. By the way, next week, Deshaun Watson back on the field, right?
He has to show contrition though.
And, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
And does anybody have faith that he will? Because the last time we saw him, mere hours before his Instagram apology, he was so unapologetic and just completely dug in to the stance that he had previously put out there, to the seeming belief that he had done nothing wrong and that he was the victim in this circumstance, and showed no understanding of the pain he had caused and the seriousness of this situation. And so,
because nobody had fucked with his money yet.
So I'm not ready yet to believe that that Instagram apology was how Kyrie truly feels. And I don't believe that if he does truly feel another way, he'll put on the sorry face and just continue to move forward with contrition and everything like that. Like, I just don't see that from Kyrie Irving. So I think this could still go very, very wrong, even further wrong for the Nets if he comes back.
I'm with Zach, though. I disagree. He mentioned, like, again, this was like the wringing of a dirty towel. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you wanted to wring it all the way out and get every little drop out, this was the one. Like, because that, you know, he actually had to huddle with his stepmom and his dad and his wife and those people and really say, hey, you know what? This ain't worth it, brother. Like, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, if he was not moving in that, he wouldn't have did the second apology and would have just, we wouldn't have seen him. And it just would have already tapped out. He wants to play basketball and his way is not working.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's at the end of his deal and he knows
Trey, that Nike there's money, consequences that Nike with it. Money's up in the air moving forward.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the line's suspended. Yeah. He'll still be wearing Nike, but at the end of the day.
But his Nike contract's up pretty soon. Right?
I mean, all of it, everything's up. Yeah. So he could, I mean, I don't want to say, it, you know, use it, put it on the line of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, but, you know, in a certain situation, he has to be mindful and he is aware of that. I think at the time it was more bluff game of like, cool, I could take a couple hits on, you know, because nobody had said anything. It was just like, all right, I'm still playing.
There's a lot of hits.
It's a lot of hits. It's like walking into a bar and instead of some people saying surprise, they're hitting you with bats. So, you know, I mean, it's a little different. Yeah. And I don't think he's handling these hits pretty well because he obviously genuinely loves basketball and feels like I just want to do basketball. But it's like, no, you still got to do your just due to talk to the media. You still have to have appropriate answers. You still have to carry yourself as a role model, even if you feel you're not a role model. It is what it is. This comes with the territory. And with how the NBA has handled it, how the Nets organization has handled it, how the Jewish community has handled it, he has nothing. He cannot go back on this if he wants to actually play more basketball in this league.
I think he saw the mortality of his career flash. Like as soon as like that stuff, I think he saw like, oh, this actually could cost me a lot. And like, there are people on Twitter, just truth seekers out there who are like, oh, you mean the guy who gave up all that money last year and everything? It's like, yeah, he gave up all that money last year. Doesn't mean he wants to keep giving up money moving forward. Like, those are not the same things. Like, this is a contract year. He's gone from, you know, maybe he could get a $200 million extension a year ago or a year plus ago to shit. Like, who's going to sign him? Right. If he has this reputation, right, of like it's toxic and there's anti-Semitism involved, all this stuff, like that now goes from $200 million to he may be in a Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf situation. Like I listened to Mahmoud talk to Dan Le Batard this past week, and in the conversation, he, you know, obviously different commissioner in different times and everything, but his conversation with David Stern in the league office when all that stuff was going down was like, they're like, no, like you don't get to come into the building anymore. You don't understand. Like, if this is what it's going to be, if this is the stance, like you don't get to be a part of this. And this is a very different league office and a very different commissioner than it was then.
Yeah, Adam gave him grace.
Yeah, Adam gave him a lot of chances and he blew those chances. And now it's like, hey, you're up against it now. And so you either have to be contrite and walk the walk and talk the talk in a way where you're not trying to be too cute with this stuff. Or you may be, you know, just outside of your prime as a player, but not allowed to play anymore. No one's going to touch you, you know, and that's a real mortality.
And I think how he moves forward from here, a lot of teams have already reached that point with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, probably, he couldn't find a sign and trade in the offseason. Remember, they literally said, go find a sign and trade.
Yeah,
and he couldn't find
that. But that's also Mo, to be fair, look, you're right, but like there's a difference between signing a guy outright and giving up assets to sign him.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, though, like
when a guy like Kyrie comes available, you do try to do that.
Yeah.
You do try to give up assets, but nobody felt comfortable enough giving up assets for him, you know, in that instance.
And that was
before
all
this stuff.
And
now you add this to it, it becomes even toxic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how an organization can look at it now and go, even signing him outright when it's easier. Can even say, yeah, we're willingly bringing this guy in. Like, it's a tough – I mean, he put himself just in this real impossible position. And, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know how the suspension plays out. I think it goes 5 games, maybe even a little longer because, you know, sometimes homework takes a while. But, like, it's a challenge. Like, I don't know.
Like, they have, like, workbooks for him. Like, I don't understand what this –
No, they are. They're creating a – what was it?
I don't trust that.
Sensitive training. And then the other one was trading anti-Semitism and anti-hate program for him. Like, yeah. What does that mean?
Those are two different steps.
Remember
I don't understand.
Yeah, it seems a little.
Remember redundant. When we sat here over the summer and said, you know, the vaccine stuff is behind him. Like,
it is. We haven't talked about the vaccine stuff in a while.
And it's like there's always something new with this guy.
Yep.
There's always something new. If it's not the anti-Semitism, like, who would have thought we'd be talking about fucking anti-Semitism?
I don't even trust myself to talk about it.
Of the basketball season. Like, that's just an absurd thing to be talking about that I never would have anticipated becoming an issue in the NBA.
I did not have that as a potential topic this season. Yeah.
And this guy, like, there's just always something new. And I think if you're a team, no matter how he comes back from this stuff, if you're a team that considers signing him, you have to know that something like this is going to pop up.
Yeah.
That's just how it's going to be.
Or something.
You're going to have to deal with some controversy of his making.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, speaking of controversy, guys, I want to bring you to the fun world of what Spencer Dinwiddie says that Tony Brothers said about him. This is bizarre. Like, I saw Tim McMahon's tweet and I thought, is Tim doing a joke here? I don't understand what's going on. So this is the quote from Spencer Dinwiddie following the game the other night.
I understand it's the heat of the moment. I've definitely said swear words. But, like, if I was playing against somebody in the other team and they said that to my teammates, I would be like, listen, I'm right here. But because obviously the referee's positions of authority and whatnot, you cannot necessarily ask for that address. So I'm just taking my fair stance and saying, hey, look, if you feel that way, fine by me. Just say it to my face like any other grown man. That's all I want. I'm not even mad at the language. Everybody has said things before they're upset or feeling sensitive or hurt. That's fine. Just say it to my face.
Because apparently after teeing up Spencer Dinwiddie, Tony Brothers said to, I think it was Reggie Bullock, that called Spencer a bitch-ass motherfucker. Is that what it was? Yeah, bitch ass.
Yes. He's like, guys, I simply want to be called a bitch ass motherfucker in my face. That's all.
My teammate. So if there is anybody that feels that way about me, not naming any names, they can address me personally, face to face, because no swear words were used in the direction of anybody personally. It was like, hey, that wasn't a take foul. Or that wasn't a fucking take foul or something like that. But it wasn't anything that was personal. So NBA, I would definitely like my money back.
And I would appreciate no fine at all in this monologue.
Hey, Jay, you look like you say that on the hoop court, bro.
All the time.
Oh, Jay's, yeah.
Jay says it in warm-ups.
Jay says it to us in the group chat. What are you talking about in warm-ups?
I have said that phrase from time to time. But I'm not a referee. I'm not a referee. I'm not an authority here. I'm just some clown.
This brings me back to, like, this game. It's not as fun because I don't think Tony Brothers is nearly as fun. He's not fun at all, but it just gave me some real nostalgic Joey Crawford vibes. Joey Crawford would say that we wouldn't even blink an eye, right? Like we wouldn't like
he tossed Tim Duncan for laughing on the bench. Like what did. Are we?
Hey, you know what? I stand with Joey Crawford on that one. That was a sarcastic ass laugh. He knew the cameras are on. He was trying to show up Joey Crawford. You don't do that to Joey Crawford, Tim Duncan. Take your ass to the Hall of Fame and don't you dare smile.
I will say, snitching on Tony Brothers, kind of a bitch ass motherfucking move.
By Dinwiddie or by the teammate?
By Dinwiddie.
What?
Kind of a bitch ass motherfucker. Move.
I don't know, man.
The same way he wanted Tony to say it to his face, just go talk to Tony, man.
He can't. And you know what the chicken shit thing of this all is too, is that the pool reporter at the game couldn't talk to Tony Brothers after because those are only for rules infractions. I'm sorry. If there's a story that you just called a player to a teammate's face, a bitch ass motherfucker, I think you got to at least clear something up here.
The world deserves an explanation.
Look, somebody does.
Hey, man, when you mess with my Bitcoin money, you know.
Bitcoin mess with your Bitcoin money.
Is that,
maybe, think about that. Because think about that. He got the tech.
Maybe Tony Brothers jumped in on that.
He got the tech. He got to pay that. Yeah, he probably lost money.
I love that. When he came up to the press conference, he's like, I want that back. I want my fine back.
He looked to Spencer Dinwiddie for financial advice. And now crypto is tanked. And he's furious.
From the investor's point of view.
His 401, he's got a rest for another 20 years. His pension's gone.
Get big discounts and cash safes. And here's what I mean by fast.
Listen, this is Sue Haynes, account 864555. I'd like to buy 300 shares of Mega at the market.
Mega's at 10. I'm entering your order to buy 300 shares at market.
That's it. Thanks. See?
If fast trades and big discounts make sense to you.
What do you think? Do you think there's a punishment here? The league won't publicly punish referees, right?
They never do.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the league sometimes. Nope. I want to see.
And now he gonna keep doing it. If I was him, I'd keep doing it just to be pissing people
keep
off.
Keep the same energy.
Yeah, man. You know what? I'm actually for the refs, man, at this point. Spencer's my guy, but I want to see the refs talk more trash too.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Is he going to show up at the jump ball going like, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you. Is he going to start doing that? Like, what is that?
There was one time, probably, I don't know how many years ago, but the Celtics were having a scrimmage. And one of the players who's long since moved on from the Celtics got mad at the call that it was an assistant coach's reffing. And he said, motherfucker, you're reffing like Tony Brothers out here. I was dying laughing.
That's an insult,
laughing.
Man. That's
I was dying laughing. Like, he was so mad just calling his assistant coach Tony Brothers. So Tony's got a reputation out there.
I mean, Tony's not a good ref. I don't get why it's tenure at this point, but like he's not good.
I have a theory that all the refs we don't think are good are probably the best refs.
No.
Scott Foster's I'm leaning towards the ref side because
Trey is pro ref, and I don't understand this move at all. Like I don't that's not an argument.
It's a lot of pressure, bro.
It is
tough.
Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of pressure. But like Tony Brothers is bad, Scott Foster is bad, Kane Fitzgerald is bad, James Williams is bad. Like those are four really bad referees who are heavily involved in playoffs and NBA finals.
Can we talk about the Jeremy Grant mistravel?
Oh my god!
Or the Tyler Hero mistravel on that winter?
Yes,
They've called so many travels in the last week. How do you miss those two?
What's funny is they missed that Tyler Hero travel against the Kings, but they had called like four carry violations on Jordan Poole in Miami, like.
Well, those were carries.
That was a travel.
No, they were travel.
Nah, they got to loosen up, man. The game too loose, man. Style of dribble is still there.
It's becoming very and one mixtape, man. Like,
but what's funny about it, Trey, too, is they called the travel on the previous play on Mikal Bridges, which was a travel.
Which was a travel, yeah.
And then they blow this one. The dude took four steps. It wasn't even close.
Great, man. It was great. You know what? I like what. Get rid of the last 2 minute report.
It doesn't do anything. It's useless.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. So get rid of it.
Nothing's worse as a team after you've lost a 1 point game, and then the next day the report says, you should have won. We're not going to do anything about it.
Well, yeah, you don't get to run it back or anything, but
you don't get a protest. You don't get a.
But that's an our bad. Maybe we'll give you a call down the road. Maybe.
We're going to forget about it. What are we talking about?
I also want to get rid of replays. Let's just go with human error again, okay? As I'm talking about what a bad referee Tony Brothers is. Let's go back to human error. I'm sick of the replays. I don't want any of this stuff anymore. I liked it for a bit, and like it just slows the game down. We can argue about whatever. Like I'm done with it.
This is your best take ever. Your best take ever. Just live with bad calls, people.
Just live with them. We did it for 50 years.
We don't need to add on another 2 or 3 minutes every time there's a video review. We don't need coaches' challenges. We just need to live with errors.
Yeah.
That's it.
It happened. And it gives us more to argue about.
No, I like the coaches' challenge just more because you just I like to see the person on the bench sweat who said challenge that. And then it's clearly wrong.
Well, then at least improve the theater of it all. Put a camera on that guy and that woman that said, yeah, you got to challenge that.
Yeah, like that's the more fun stuff I like about it. Like, you know, there's when the head coach looks to the bench going like, should I challenge?
I would never answer that, by the way. If I was an assistant coach, I would never answer that question. You're not putting that shit on me.
Somebody is assigned that role because, you know, they have a video guy on the bench now.
Yeah, like, that's a stressful role, honestly.
That's too stressful.
It's stressful. My answer would always be no.
My favorite thing is when a player like 4 minutes into a game gets called for a foul or something and they're like, challenge that. It's like, buddy, you got to relax. We got a long game ahead of us. We don't need to challenge this bullshit right now.
The player calling for the challenge is my favorite one because the team should institute a rule of like, if you call for a challenge, we challenge and you're wrong. And it was clearly a foul or whatever.
I think you should have to run laps during the game.
Push-ups on the side.
Yeah, you gotta go do push-ups. You gotta go do 50 push-ups on the side before you can return to the game, return to play. But you're not subbed out, so now it's just 4-on-5.
4-on-5.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's what should happen.
And then you see a dude that's struggling at 39 push-ups, can't get the other 11.
Oh shit! Can Kevin Durant do 50 push-ups? Remember we couldn't like bench whatever. He can do 50. I don't know. Those are long arms, man. Long arms. I don't think people realize the long arms push-up
issue. It's a light frame.
It is a light frame. That's true. All right. Speaking of just bad things, it's time for Jay King's King's Minute. Hey, you guys want to lighten the mood a little bit?
Please.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yes, yes I do.
It's time for Jay King's King's Minute.
Brought to you by Jay.
Jay, as you get ready to talk, I've been told to keep it to 1 minute by Jade Hoy, so your time starts now.
I mean, what a finish. What a finish to that Orlando Magic game. I have never seen a dumber end.
They were up 4 with 14 seconds left and needed a game winner. Oh my God.
De'Aaron Fox, for some reason, God bless his soul, he's trying to play defense. He tries to take a charge near midcourt and gets a foul with 11 seconds left. Like, what are you doing, pal? You're up 4. Just let them do whatever.
Up. 4-point game.
Do not foul.
Oh, my God.
No.
Foul. That's the last thing you ever want to do. Then Suggs hits 2 free throws. They inbound it to Malik Monk, who decides, hey, you know what? I'm just going to spin and throw this nonsense pass across the court. The Magic tie.
Miles is going to inbound to Malik Monk. They trap him in the corner. Monk throws it away. OKK sends it in, and we're tied at 123. No timeouts here for the Kings.
But the Kings, this is why they stay Kings. They respond.
You come at the Kings, King, you best not miss.
De'Aaron Fox from half court.
Two Fox from mid court. Got it! De'Aaron Fox called game!
What What a magical finish. What an incredible run. I hope I've stayed within a minute.
And time.
That was an epic King's.
Time. No more of J. King's King's Minute.
That was incredible.
Next subject.
How can you not love the Kings after that sequence?
Before we
Mike
go.
Mike Brown probably wanted to kill
shut
everyone.
Up. The King's Minute's over.
It's over. You got a minute.
You got a minute. Over. I've been told. I know. Unfortunately, it will carry long into the group chat. Before we go, let's name one thing we're excited about this week in the NBA. One thing. We didn't even mention, like, this isn't exciting, but, like, James Harden's out for a month. Cam Johnson's going to have knee surgery on a torn meniscus. Some bad news. But let's get some good news in there. So, Mo, what's something you're looking forward to watching this week in the NBA?
Luka Doncic. He's just been incredible. Granted, the team's not that great, and he has to do everything. But he's doing everything.
He's unbelievable. Like,
for this team. Yeah. He's just it's just amazing to watch. I don't know how long he can hold out. So I'm going to enjoy him as much as I can right now before he just gets tired, because they're putting way too much on him.
This is what it looks like when he's in shape, by the way. Is he just scores 30 every night without
But you know what it sucks?
Really,
you
know, having to try.
He's in shape and they didn't give him any help. He's in shape and they said, do more.
Give him Christian Wood, you know? I was told, okay. Christian Wood's really good.
As I said, they didn't give him any help.
Jay, what's something you're looking forward to this week?
The Utah Jazz.
Wow.
The Utah Jazz. Give me more Jazz. They are playing beautiful basketball. Like, it's stupid that they are 7-3 right now, but I'm feeling the Utah Jazz right now far more than I ever felt them last year.
Go check out, if you want more Utah Jazz, go check out the latest One Mo Thing.
Oh, there you
that's
go.
That's a plug.
How about that? Yeah, finally you plug it. Plug. It only took you a year and a half to plug that on
it
this
took
podcast.
A long time. I needed somebody to throw the lob. It didn't seem like any of you were going to ever throw one.
No, you know I'm not passing. Trey, what is something you're looking forward to watching the NBA this week?
Lakers-Cavs. Oh, Lakers-Cavs.
That's Garland. That's today, Lakers? Man. That's today.
Hear me out. Darius Garland's back playing. The Cavs are fun. The Lakers maybe, Russ is responding well off the bench.
Yeah, maybe found something with the six-man rule.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just something nostalgic about LeBron playing against the Cavs. It's always fun. So, we'll see. But, yeah, I just like watching the Cavs play.
Garland's one of my favorite players to watch, man.
He's good,
man.
That
dude is so smooth.
Everyone just says he's a shooter, man. That dude can play point guard. He is a good passer.
I was going to say, my favorite player to watch right now is Bones Highland, hands down.
I love Bones Highland.
I knew Zach was going to love Bones Highland, but I didn't know Trey was going to be there, too.
Absolutely, man. Bones is great. All right, my thing. You know what? I'm really enjoying how just minute to minute it swings of incompetence to, hey, maybe this team is good with the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are just an unbelievable show right now.
No, they're pretty much incompetent all the time.
Well, yeah, they are 5-5, but my God, like this team, they played the dumbest playoff series I've ever seen last year. And Memphis was a big part. Memphis was dumb in that series, too.
Both of them, yes.
But they have the Wolves have carried this over into this season after trading all that for Rudy Gobert. And, if I'm Chris Finch, maybe I try to get fired and just collect these checks. Like, this cannot be a team that you want. Like, D'Angelo Russell is awful right now. Awful. Anthony Edwards has one dunk on the season because he's like, yeah, this... lanes clogged up. There's no room for me to go dunk. I don't know what that's the hell
that was
doing.
Incredible. Incredible press conference.
I'm a little disappointed, Zach, because I thought you were going to do a film noir twist and say you were excited for the Sacramento Kings.
No, nobody's excited for the Sacramento Kings. No offense, Sacramento. This Wolves thing is just weirder every game. And so I'm here for watching how bad that is. That's going to do it for this edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you check out all the podcasts on the network. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you're subscribed not only to theathletic.com, go get you that newsletter, the Pulse newsletter, man. Great way to open up your morning every single morning with that newsletter. Make sure you got all that. For Jay, for Mo, for Trey, I'm Zach. Keep it locked on The Athletic.